tough stuff happens, and very often people will experience that their heart closed down. Like when we feel pain, it's easy just to close the heart, but then you can't feel other people, you can't relate really, and at the end of the day, you're gonna feel very lonely. And feeling lonely is a huge trend, a big problem that is growing in the world. Mental health and loneliness is not even isolated to certain groups. It's anyone it can happen to. No matter if you're rich or poor, or black or white, or tall or low, or it's happening to so many people. And what you are sharing is really helping to open the heart so you can connect with other people and stop feeling lonely.
Stay connected to gratitude. Hit the follow button right now and join thousands of listeners tuning in each week. We're the Gratitude Seekers. Come join us. Hi, Gratitude Seeker. Welcome to a new episode of the Gratitude Podcast. Today with us, we have a founder of a top leadership consulting firm for multinational companies that has been working with leaders and teams and talents in large organizations such as McDonald's, Deloitte, Maersk, Novo Nordisk, and the Carlsberg Group. And now she's here with us to talk about a really important and powerful topic that we might not think about that much, but that impacts everything that we do, especially if we are in leadership positions. But I believe we are in a leadership position almost all the time, even if we don't realize it. Josephine Campbell, welcome to the Gratitude Podcast.
Thank you. I'm so happy to be here. I'm grateful to be here, actually.
Yeah, I can definitely feel it. And I'm really happy that we get to have this conversation. And I'm really curious where it will actually flow, because I have some really interesting ideas and curiosities that I would really love for us to explore more. So let us know a little bit more about you. I'm really happy. So most probably you're the first Danish person actually that's on the podcast. So I'm really happy to have people from all cultures of the world on the podcast and speak about their experience with gratitude. So let's know a little bit more about you.
Yes. So I'm an executive coach. And as you said, I work pretty internationally. My recent book, Power Barometer, I've written it for the Americans. I work with a lot of Americans. Well, I've written it for all of everybody who speaks English and who wants to have more energy at work. The subtitle of the book is Manage Energy, Not Just Time and Money. And I think that resonates with a lot of people. And so when we do consulting, we have a coaching approach to it. So we do believe that the best solutions and answers are found within the people, within the organization. And clearly, I have a very strong practice in doing one-to-one coachings. We do that a lot with leaders, executives, but we also work with groups. Sometimes it's just two people. Sometimes it's an executive team. Sometimes it's, one time it was a group of 30 VPs and directors who had a hard time collaborating across the organization. We do whatever it takes to help our clients and support them in what they want to do. And at the same time, we support them building more energy, because we know that energy is fundamental in anything you do, and particularly in when you work. My background is in science. I used to teach at Copenhagen Business School, but it's also in jiu-jitsu, which is a Japanese martial art. And I was very young when I started practicing jiu-jitsu. So anything I wrote as a grown-up is reflections on what I was doing or what I learned to do when I was younger without being aware of it. And at the same time, being very much aware of it, because we learned how to use techniques to prepare ourselves energetically and mentally to handle very difficult situations. You know, being in a fight. You know, if you watch the movie Karate Kid, you've seen how they fight at the end of the movie, right? You have green tatami mats on the floor. There's a lot of people in the room. The judge says, "Hajime," and then you jump on each other, right? So that's one type of championship. And I was the quadruple national champion in that type of championship. But there's another one, which is called reaction tracks, which I think is a bit more challenging, and which I think has some references to modern work life and how it can be to be an executive or maybe any other person in a challenging work environment. And it's in a reaction track, you walk through a forest or a desert area, and it tends to be in a forest. And there's a day track and there's a night track. It takes about 1.5 to 2 hours to walk through the track. There are 10 to 12 posts. On most of them, you will be met by an attack by one or more people. But on some of them, you have to give first aid, right? So you don't know what you're going to meet. And what makes you succeed and score high in one post is not the same behavior or way of being that will score high in another post. So you really have to stay ready and calm to give the right response to the situation. And what happens to most people when they have to walk through a dark forest is that they get scared. I was 12, 11 or 12 years the first time I did this. And I had to stay calm and ready, not freaking out. Because when you get scared or uneasy or stressed or just a little bit too busy, if things move too fast, you lose yourself. You become what I call hijacked. And it's the amygdala, all the automatic responses inside you, which we are designed to have as human beings to survive. They take over your behavior. So you're unconscious. You don't know you're unconscious because you lose your ability to have self-awareness in these moments. You just act the way you have been designed to act. And the way you throughout experiences have learned will bring you success. So if you're walking through a dark forest, a lot of people will get scared and they would get hijacked. And for martial artists, it could mean that you become aggressive. It's the same to a lot of business people. They all can also become aggressive, speak a little bit too harsh, make decisions a little too fast, act a little too fast, run over people. But you could also react in a way where you freeze or you flight. So you don't deal with the issues, so you don't know what to say. You know, we all have a tendency of moving towards fight, flight, and freeze. And you probably know, if you think about it for a few minutes, you probably know what is your default. You for example, you have such a beautiful, gentle way about you. So I don't think your default is fight. I think it would surprise me. No. Yeah, it's not. Yeah. You're not a fight person in that sense. If you get under pressure, you probably have a different way of responding than talking harsh to people. I can't imagine you talking harsh to people. Right? But that's what happens in the business environment, where people are, and it degenerates the energy. So everybody knows the feeling of leaving a meeting drained, right? Mm-hmm. Walking into a meeting room or a department where there's a bad atmosphere, where the atmosphere is dense and tense, and people, when they leave, they are completely drained, and they will, at the end of the day, will go back to their families and their life, and they would be completely empty. And the next day they will start on a lower gear, on a lower capacity than the day before. So I think we as human beings can get to a next level. I think it's part of our evolution to become more aware of our nature and to take responsibility for this part of our being and behaviors.
Exactly, exactly. Because the truth of the matter is that we influence each other regardless of our position. So especially we can see that very profoundly in leadership positions, but in general, our energy influences other people, and how we handle our energy, how we manage it, has an impact on the people around us, on the people that we work with, on the family, the people we interact with. And managing that is, of course, our responsibility. So how can we do a better job at managing our energy? Spend more time outside with fresh air in your lungs and healthier habits in your schedule by eliminating the hassle of prepping, cooking, and cleaning up after each meal. Stress-free eating is just one click away this spring. Factor's delicious meals range from calorie smart, keto, protein plus, to vegan and veggie, and they're ready in just 2 minutes. Customize your weekly meals with the flexibility to get as much or as little as you need. Pause or reschedule deliveries to suit your lifestyle. Also, discover more than 60 add-ons every week, like breakfast, on-the-go lunch, snacks and beverages to help you stay fueled and feel good all day long. Head to factormeals.com/gratitude50 and use code gratitude50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box. That's gratitude50 at factormeals.com/gratitude50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active.
The first step is to be aware, or just to try to be aware, just to notice it. There will be moments where you're not aware. There will be moments where I'm not aware, even though we're really trying hard, right? And we just have to be grateful for the moments that we are aware. I often give speeches or do workshops inside large corporations, banks, consultancies, pharmaceuticals, FMCG company, you know, many types of companies with a lot of rational people, right? And anytime I ask the question of they know this feeling of leaving a meeting drained, or if they have a colleague with whom they get energy from working on, and if they can sense the atmosphere in the room, there's a lot of people nodding. You know, it's something that everybody recognizes. It's such a part of us as human beings. There are always some who doesn't, you know, because corporate work life is, you know, it's not for kids. It's tough sometimes. It can be very painful. There's a lot of unjust going on. It's or perceived unjust. There's a lot of toughness. It's not for kids. So a lot of people react to that by closing down their ability to sense the atmosphere. It could be that it happened even in when they were in school. For example, if you've been exposed to, you know, being excluded from the group, or people talking bad about you, even in the classroom, or a reaction can be that you withdraw. So you don't sense what is, you know, you just focus all your attention inwards and you stop sensing what is around you because it's too painful. Some people react like that. And yeah, I know a couple of those. And you can, it's not that you don't care, it's just that you don't want to sense what's going on around you. And then there's actually also a group of people who don't really have the ability to sense what goes on around them, but they're very few, or they don't care. There's a little small percentage of people who really don't care. Well, they care about themselves, but they really don't care about the rest. And we just have to be grateful for all the people who do care. And I think we should set the standards to include that everybody should care and everybody should take part of the being part of the solution and take responsibility for the energy in the room, for the atmosphere, for what feeds good collaboration and good decisions, good results. This brings much better results. In my line of work, leadership development, we can differentiate between a company culture that is immature and a company culture that is mature. Very often in mature cultures, you have invested more in the employees, especially the managers, self-awareness, empathy matters, psychological safety matters. Leadership is a discipline that is being valued and groomed. In immature companies, it's much tougher. It's much, much, much tougher. And often decision makers will see through the fingers. They will accept bad behavior because they believe that that person who's having that bad behavior is still bringing about wonderful, strong results, right? And it's really toxic. And, you know, maybe at the end of the day, that person is not bringing about all these wonderful results, or maybe not to the extent that it appears. So I think we have, there's an aspiration in some people. There's a potential in some companies to set the standards higher. And I can see in those companies where they do set the standard higher, they perform better. So I'd like to give you an example. You mentioned Novo Nordisk before. It's a pharmaceutical company. Today it's the largest biotech company in the world. It's the largest biotech company in the world, and it's the most valuable biotech company in the world. And they have, throughout decades, invested in leadership development. Just like IKEA has the IKEA way. I don't know if you're not familiar with that, but they have like 3, 10 values or like behaviors, which is the IKEA way. The same does Novo Nordisk. We have the NN way. And I work with a number of leaders there, brilliant people, a couple of VPs. And when we go deep, when we really reflect about how to solve a situation, very often they will look towards the NN way. So it's very, very value-based. And it's some values that are based on an idea of human beings as being a full person. We are people, also when we go to work. It's also something I write about in my book, and Fast Company just published an article about it. If you Google me in Fast Company, you'll find that article. It's a myth. It's not personal. It's only business. That's a myth, because business is personal. When you lead, when you collaborate, when you convey technical expertise, it's you as a person who conveys that expertise or who communicates or collaborates or leads. So business and your professional life, it's very personal. It doesn't have to be private. Privacy is the antithesis of professional, and you can decide for yourself how much you might want to mix it. But personal, you cannot take that out of the equation. You're not a robot, you're a person.
Definitely. That makes so much sense. And usually, at least in movies, when they say it's not person, it's just business, they say it especially because people's feelings at least get hurt. Mm-hmm. So it's just something people say, like, and I feel it's somehow similar to this idea of you should be grateful, you know, like it's an obligation and you should feel bad if you don't feel grateful, and that you should, I don't know, it's just something that people use as a way of interacting with other people that isn't quite healthy, actually, you know, because if you're just saying, oh, it's just business, it's nothing personal, it absolves you of the actual personal relationship, which is not okay.
I agree. It's misplacing responsibility. It's not taking responsibility for your actions.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. Yeah. It makes perfect sense. And in my experience in reading about gratitude and how the brain works and things of this nature, I can definitely think about some situations where even in organizations where I could see the difference between a culture where they focus more on the reptilian brain, in the sense that they are more reactive, like you said, they're more aggressive, and a company that's more that has different kinds of values that are more responsive. And it's such a big difference just working with these kinds of companies. It's fascinating for me. Spend more time outside with fresh air in your lungs and healthier habits in your schedule by eliminating the hassle of prepping, cooking, and cleaning up after each meal. Stress-free eating is just one click away this spring. Factor's delicious meals range from calorie smart, keto, protein plus, to vegan and veggie, and they're ready in just 2 minutes. Customize your weekly meals with the flexibility to get as much or as little as you need. Pause or reschedule deliveries to suit your lifestyle. Also, discover more than 60 add-ons every week, like breakfast, on-the-go lunch, snacks and beverages, to help you stay fueled and feel good all day long. Head to factormeals.com/gratitude50 and use code gratitude50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box. That's gratitude50 at factormeals.com/gratitude50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active.
Yeah, because you also get around to see a lot of different companies and experience a lot of different company cultures, right?
Yeah.
You also get to sense that.
Yeah, and it's very interesting for me to see that difference and how easy it is to work with certain types of companies that at least are that have similar values compared to others that tend to be more on the other side of the spectrum, let's say. So yeah, definitely being able to manage the personal and the cultural environment is key. It makes a huge difference for the people working there, for the people working with those companies. And I think it goes, like you said, to the families and everyone around.
It does. It does. And it also goes back to the workplace. It goes back to the next workday. It has an effect on performance and value creation and results if people's energy are being drained. We see it very often in merger and acquisitions. You know, the whole process of acquiring or selling your company is really demanding. And very often the company has been geared before it's being sold. And the management, and especially those who have equity or options, they are not sleeping for months. And then the company gets acquired and it's like this big release, but then there's an earn out. People have to stay on, like the key people, key managers, key leaders, they have to stay on board for maybe 2 years and perform and meet some certain targets. And, you know, sometimes they're just drained when they get to that point. And then doing the 2 years of earn out, it becomes difficult. And maybe the organization below them also is drained, first from the gearing and then from the merger and all the changes and a lot of people reacting in that process, trying to protect their domains. And that affects other people. And you know, I think if you as a buyer, if you are aware of managing the energy in the process of doing that merger, you will get much more value out of what you invested in.
Definitely. So let us know a little bit more about how we actually do this. How do we manage our energy? What habits do we need to have, or what habits do we need to change?
So one thing is what you can do on a personal level, and that matters. And that's also, I say, everybody should care and take responsibility for what energy they bring into the room. But a lot of people just stay there. And I am very focused on that there's also something that goes on within the group. There's something that the management, the executives can affect. Some ground rules they can set. Or there are things you can decide collectively that this is behaviors we want, or ways of doing our meeting we want, and these are ways of doing our meetings that we don't want because it drains energy. So let me just give like a small practical example is, if you're in a meeting and you're doing presentation and someone else is doing their emails on the computer while you're doing your presentation, do you think you're going to get a fruitful discussion afterwards? It's just, it's so rude, and it drains the energy when people sit and do other work during a meeting. Also, when it's on Teams, it counts too. If I have a case in the book from one of the largest consulting firms in the world, and they have this rule that if they can feel that the energy is lowering, then they will ask each other, they will speak it up and say, I can feel the energy is low now, and it would be low if some other people are doing other work on the computer. Well, you should have a discussion. So they speak up about it, and then maybe it's because what they're talking about is not relevant right now, or you have the wrong people at the meeting room, or the meeting has been too long, or they just need to stretch their legs and go for a walk. You can often do much more productive work together if everybody are leveling and have a good level of energy, and you can sit for hours with everybody and drained and get nowhere. So one thing is that you are aware, then you do, I have an exercise in my book that we also do in workshops called the plus and minus list. So you start being aware of what gives you energy and what takes your energy. And then you start more of doing what gives you energy, and maybe you can minimize what drains you. You know, sometimes things you have to do, like doing the dishes that maybe you don't enjoy it, or maybe you can try and start enjoying doing the dishes, you know? So you take responsibility for your own energy that you bring into the room. But then in the group, in the room, you have to have some ground rules. You have to be able to speak about it and have a collective awareness and language for how to manage energy in meetings. We know, it's backed by a lot of data, that if you sit in back-to-back Teams meetings, it drains your energy. And I don't think we need science to prove that point. I think a lot of people just will know that, and they will not, like you're doing now, right? But we all actually also have data to support that. And what the data is also supporting is that you can see it in the brain. It's like the brain gets fried from back-to-back meetings on Teams, video calls. So you should do little pauses. You should do a break in between. And a break is not answering an email or looking at your phone. It's not. A break is probably with closed eyes, or it's a walk, or you stretch yourself, or you lay down and relax, or you go and take a glass of water, or, you know, that's a break. A break is not Instagram. It really isn't. It's when we measure people's brains, we can see that when people are on a screen, of course, it depends on what they're doing, but just the very blue light from the screen, all the little interactions that will tick and pop your brain and release a little bit of dopamine, it's not relaxing you. On the contrary, it's activating your sympathetic nerve system, which is related to the fight-flight response. So you should take a little pause, a break. But there's so many things you can do. And it's important that you find out what works for you. And trying to measure it, you know, even if it's you're just using your own self-perception to measure your energy level, it will bring about new levels of awareness, because there can be a difference between what you enjoy doing and what gives you energy. There can also be a correlation, but you have to explore and make those lists to see and find out.
I love this idea, and I think it's very simple and very easy to apply. It's not always actually easy to do, in the sense that we have all kinds of habits that might not help us in this direction, but it makes so much sense, because in many situations we feel drained. We might not have any new ideas, or the energy levels aren't too high. And it's fascinating for me just going outside, for instance, to take a deep breath of fresh air, how much of a difference it makes, and how much it actually helps appreciate the moment more, because you get to get outside of your habits, outside of just scrolling, just going through emails and things of this nature. And it's just us actually deciding to make this change, to do things a bit differently. Because if we think about it, the alternative isn't that great, right? Like, we could just stay on the screens and stay connected to these kinds of apps, but actually disconnected from ourselves, not being able to maybe even be aware of the fact that we our energy levels are low, right?
Yeah, so true. And we have to acknowledge the fact that it takes very little for us to become unaware. It's just, you know, I don't like being late. I like to be punctual, but I also like to get lost in the moment and being deep in what I do. So sometimes it does happen that I'm in a conversation or I am in a piece of work, and then, well, I realize, okay, so not to be late, I have to move fast now. And that just that very little feeling of, oh my God, I'm going to be late. It takes me out of awareness into reaction mode, right? It takes me into what I call the red zone. I can potentially get mentally hijacked in that situation. It activates my fight flight response, my sympathetic nervous system, and it burns energy like a lot. If you're in the other mode where you're calm and you have the other nerve system, the parasympathetic nerve system, dominating, you can even get energy from doing your work. Like, we're talking now, and it could take energy or it could give energy. I feel my parasympathetic nerve system is activated right now. It's really nice to talk to you. It's really relaxing. And I think if I had been wearing one of my trackers, you could see I would be in the green zone. And my energy level is probably better after this conversation than it was before, even though it was pretty good before I went to yoga. So, you know, it was not that bad, but I can feel that I'm being elevated from the connection and the talk we are having.
Spend more time outside with fresh air in your lungs and healthier habits in your schedule by eliminating the hassle of prepping, cooking, and cleaning up after each meal. Stress-free eating is just one click away this spring. Factor's delicious meals range from calorie smart, keto, protein plus, to vegan and veggie, and they're ready in just 2 minutes. Customize your weekly meals with the flexibility to get as much or as little as you need. Pause or reschedule deliveries to suit your lifestyle. Also, discover more than 60 add-ons every week, like breakfast, on-the-go lunch, snacks, and beverages to help you stay fueled and feel good all day long. Head to factormeals.com/gratitude50 and use code gratitude50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box. That's gratitude50 at factormeals.com/gratitude50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active. Yeah, and I love the fact that you mentioned yoga. I think one of the things that we are not quite aware of is that we are not moving our body enough usually. Mm-hmm. Like we're just using our bodies to be in front of screens or moving around, usually needing to be in a certain place at a certain time, and we need to rush. Mm-hmm. But we don't actually, we're not too often aware of our body itself and all of its functions. And I wanted to ask you, what role does yoga play for you in your energy management?
Oh, huge part. Like any type of sport plays a huge part for me because it gets me into my body. It's the same thing with jiu-jitsu. And I've taken up karate in the past years. So when you do sports, a lot of people will experience that they have their awareness in the body, not in the head, for one time's sake. And it's so good for us. It's so healthy. One thing is that the body and, you know, all the biological functions, they do need to move. The muscles need to be used. The blood needs to run faster and all that. But just moving the awareness from the mind to the body, and that's a huge part of yoga. If you're thinking about something else, you're not really doing yoga. Yoga is about being aware in your body. It's so important. And just like anybody else, I also have a tendency of popping up in my head, and I'm very comfortable in my head. I like reading. I have academic stuff is easy for me. So I'm like, I feel at home in my head. Doing analysis and thinking strategically and all that is easy for me. So I feel at home in my head. I can very easily get to that level, but then I lose so much information. And I'm serious. I really, really miss out of information. And in my job, where I have to support other people in navigating in very complex situations. In almost all cases, we couldn't put all data on the table as hard scientific facts, right? We have to use insights and sensations and intuition. And very often, that part of the data set is very right. And there's a scientific reason to that. I can explain you why it's connected to the limbic system. And the limbic system can process thousands of impulses per second, whereas the frontal lobes only can process one or two impulses per second. And, wow. And the frontal lobes is where we, you know, where we have our awareness, where we do think logic, where we do analysis, you know. All the things they taught us in school, that's in the frontal lobes. And it's everything that we in society says is right. It's anything that in business is considered as valid data and hard facts and, you know, that an engineer would buy into. And yeah. So, but actually, very often, a lot of the people I work with, they're, you know, it's smart people. They do sense what goes on around them. If we just access that information, you know. At the end of the day, you know, you just haven't thought about it, or you haven't accessed what you picked up in that meeting that no one was saying, but you could sense it on other people. And again, there's a scientific explanation to why you can pick up things and sense things. And, you know, you probably will be right. You could also pick up things from your fear center, right? And then you will probably be wrong. Like you pick up stuff, but it's actually because you're scared of something. And then, you know, so of course, there's an art of trusting all those things that you navigate in. But that's also why it's, you know, being connected to the body is a doorway, a path to bigger truth, more knowledge, a wider set of data and information, so you can make better decisions for yourself and others.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. And it's been my experience as well. And in actually experiencing gratitude, like when you think about just, okay, what are the things that I'm grateful for? And you just think about it in your mind, it's pretty limited. But when you're in your body and the energy is moving, you can really, really experience it and really, really feel it. And it's a whole new level of experiencing gratitude. And yeah, that's why I believe it's important to fit that in the schedule, right?
Yes. Oh my God, what you do is so important. Are you aware of what you're doing here? This voice, bringing your voice out to all the listeners with this message, it's really changing the balance in the world in a positive way. You know, we can all do like just a little bit, and you're really doing something with this. It give people the opportunity to connect with something more beautiful without having to change anything but their awareness and, you know, their state of mind, and put it into the body and feel the gratitude, and the heart's gonna pop up.
Exactly.
And that's
exactly.
Yeah, that's what the world needs right now, with all that. As I said, it's not for kids very often to go to work. A lot of tough stuff happens, and very often people will experience that their heart closed down. Like when we feel pain, it's easy just to close the heart, but then you can't feel other people, you can't relate really, and at the end of the day, you're going to feel very lonely. And feeling lonely is a huge trend, a big problem that is growing in the world. Mental health and loneliness, and it doesn't even it's not even isolated to certain groups. It's anyone it can happen to, no matter if you're rich or poor or black or white or tall or low, or, you know, it's happening to so many people. And what you are sharing is really helping to open the heart so you can connect with other people and stop feeling lonely. There's a lot of people to connect with out there, a lot of beautiful people.
Definitely, definitely. Thank you so much for sharing that with us. I really appreciate it, and I can really feel the depth of what you just shared. And I appreciate the fact that you went there and you shared that with us. I really see you and appreciate it very much. And yeah, I'm really happy that you got to this point. And it's really true, when we're able to open up and to feel our feelings, we get to enjoy even more gratitude, like a wider array of colors of emotions and of gratitude come up. And yeah, we tend to close down, especially when we are in tough work situations. It's really easy to do that. But that means that we also enjoy it less, and we get separated more, just like you mentioned. And the beauty of gratitude is actually our interdependence, because especially in leadership positions, we couldn't do much without the other people. And we're somehow in a vulnerable position, in the sense that we depend on the other people to do their work so that we can get the results that we want. But this happens in general, I believe, like the fact that we are having this conversation right now is dependent on many other people doing their job correctly, you know, like the people that have constructed the devices that we're using, the people that are taking care of the internet so that it works properly. So we are always in an interconnected world, and we can always be grateful for just the fact that we are interconnected. And yeah, I believe this is a very helpful reminder that we are not actually alone, and that we are connected to other people, and we are enjoying many of the things that we are enjoying in our day-to-day life thanks to other people, right?
Yeah, very true. And the doorway to that connection, if you sit out there and you're listening and you say, oh, but I can't feel that connection, I still feel lonely, even though there are lots of people around me, I want everybody to know that the doorway is through the heart. And you know, it can take a long time to open that door. Be patient. But gratitude really helps. It can also just pop up. Like, it can also be happen instantly to you, or something that happens to you can help you both way. But you should always move towards the feeling, not away from it. You should always open up the feeling, not close it down, even if it's pain. And feelings and even pain, they're just like little clouds. They'll go away. They'll change all the time. So just observe them. Just be grateful that you have the opportunity to observe it, to experience it. It's part of being alive. Life is not about feeling good and wonderful all the time. Life is about feeling and experiencing and anything that there is out there. And then be connected to yourself. Stand on your feet on the ground. Feel your feet heavy on the ground. So you stay where you are and you can experience what happens. And you know, sometimes it's fun and light and exhilarating. Sometimes it's heavy. Sometimes it's painful. Sometimes it feels boring. It's, you know, many different feelings, but they're all real. And it's also part of our life experience. And sometimes it's part of our work experience. Our work is part of our life.
Exactly. Exactly. I love it. And yeah, I think that these emotions, the things that we experience, are a normal part of being human. And the fact that we have certain habits, certain ways that we can manage them in the best way possible, I think that's what we can go for whenever it's harder for us to deal with some things. And also, like with gratitude, to amplify when things are good and when things are going beautifully in our life. But I also wanted to ask you something that I love asking people from all parts of the world. What are some of the things that you have been taught about gratitude and you have seen as a culture in Denmark relating to gratitude?
Okay, so people have different perspectives and different opinions. Scandinavia is known for our welfare system, right? And we have a model where we pay some taxes and then we get free education and free healthcare and even free dentistry for the kids. When I was a kid, we didn't have any poor people on the street. Seriously, now we do. And that's due to lack of investment in mental care. But it's pretty safe here, right? Because we take care of each other through that system. And I think, you know, at the end of our day, we have depending on which group you belong to, you will have as much as if you were living in another country, right? But in a different way, it's just distributed. And some people are grateful for that, especially people who've been living abroad. A lot of the people in my circles have also lived in the US or UK or France, or, you know, traveled the world or working internationally. And we get to see the perspectives of how things are other places. And then I see they have great, they're grateful. Like, people will come back home to bring up their kids here from successful big careers in New York, making lots of money, because they want to bring up their kids in a place where the kids can walk around in the streets on their own. They can go to the bakery, buy some bread when they're 7 years old, and it's safe. You don't see that a lot of places. I am super grateful for that. And I see that people who have perspective, mainly because they're either born as a person who has perspective or they travel the world, they appreciate that. They're grateful for that. And of course, there's a huge part of people who don't have that, haven't had that experience, so they're not as grateful for it. And I'm grateful that I've been brought up in a society like that. And I think a lot of other people are, and that's why they come back when they had to bring up the kids here.
Yeah, that makes perfect sense. And it's beautiful. So a challenge usually with gratitude is the fact that we get used to things, you know, like when you are in a certain country, this is just how things are, you know, you tend to forget that it's actually something special. And there are things that are quite amazing. But when you travel, when you go to other places, you see other cultures, you tend to appreciate what you have more, and you see the good parts more of your own country. And yeah, I think that's a beautiful thing that we can have as human beings, to see contrast and to be able to appreciate the simple things, the day-to-day things, the normal things that that we get to experience. So we're nearing the end of our time together, and I wanted to ask you, where can our audience get your book, find out more about you, get in touch with you?
Yeah, on josephinecampbell.com, and Josephine is spelled with an F, you can access free resources. And there are exercises from the book that you can get. You can get the first chapter of the book for free. And the book you can get on Amazon and many other platforms. And yeah, feel free to connect with me. I'm active on LinkedIn, and I love to hear from you and the audience. And I love to hear from people who read my book or have a question, or like, feel free to connect. I'm there. And I'm doing what I do because I care.
That's wonderful. That's the best ending for our time together. Thank you so much for being here with us, for sharing your stories, for sharing all of your knowledge, and for being so authentic and vulnerable with us. Thank you.
I'm so grateful for having this conversation with you. So I also want to thank you. It's been a beautiful experience.
Hey, Gratitude Seeker, thank you so much for taking the time to listen to this interview. I really appreciate it. And if you could think of one person that would also benefit from it, share it with them. It might actually be the inspiration that they need to make their day, or maybe even their life, much better. Thank you so much once again. This has been Georgian Benta. Don't forget to keep seeking and spreading gratitude.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Are you experiencing more lack in your life than you used to? Unfortunately, some things are not in our control, but we can control how we see them. Join me on a 7-week journey from lack to abundance through gratitude. Go to georgianbenta.com/abundancecourse. That's georgianbenta.com/abundancecourse to join me now.
Save big on your Memorial Day barbecue, all in the Kroger app. Get 3-pound rolls of juicy 80% lean ground beef for $3.49 a pound with a digital coupon. Then get select varieties of flavorful Powerade, Body Armor Super Drink, or Arizona Tea for 77 cents each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Are you experiencing more lack in your life than you used to? Unfortunately, some things are not in our control, but we can control how we see them. Join me on a 7-week journey from lack to abundance through gratitude. Go to georgianbenta.com/abundancecourse. That's georgianbenta.com/abundancecourse to join me now.